Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 36th verse. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house, and he took his place at table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "What is it, teacher?" "A certain creditor had two debtors, one who owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they could not pay, he forgave them both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, to whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer, in Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, amen. President Calvin Coolidge once invited friends from his small hometown to dine with him at a presidential dinner in the White House. They came very unsure of their table manners. And so the guests came up with a plan. They were going to watch the president very closely, and whatever utensil he used, they were going to use. So he picked up the second fork, and they picked up the second fork. He drank from the third glass, they drank from the third glass. He used the second spoon, they used the second spoon. And everything was going great until it came time to serve the coffee. President Coolidge took the coffee. After it had been poured, he sipped it. And then he poured some of his coffee into the saucer. They sipped their coffee, poured some of the coffee in the saucer. Then he took the creamer and he poured some of the creamer in the saucer. And they took the creamer and poured some of the creamer in the saucer. Today is our second Sunday, and looking at the theme, you're in. And each Sunday, the message is going to begin with the letters I-N. And what I'm talking about is our identity in Christ. So I began this last week. I'm going to do it again. I asked the question, are you in? And you're going to say, yes, I'm in Christ Jesus. So are you in? Yes, I'm in. Are you in? Yes, I'm in Christ Jesus. Well, this Sunday, what we're going to talk about is being invited. And I'm going to say, in Christ Jesus, you are invited. And actually, I think that's the core of the gospel message, is that we have been invited into the family of God. I don't know about you, but I don't like the feeling of being left out. Have you ever been around your friends and you're hanging out with them and they're all talking about some party at Bill's house and you don't know what they're talking about? And then all of a sudden you get this sinking feeling, I wasn't invited. met a lady from church, had come to this church, and she'd brought her son who was in a wheelchair. And she told me the story that later on someone came from church to visit her at her house, and she's telling this story, and I'm thinking, oh, this is great. We did this. This is great. But that person came and said, I'm sorry, ma'am. I don't believe that we're the church for you and your son. Exactly. Karen just gave me this face like, what? That's what my face was like. What? Someone said, can you imagine how embarrassed? Can you imagine the feeling of hurt? Can you imagine the feeling of being uninvited? It's devastating to hear of things or think of times when we've been left out. But I want to share one of the great truths with you about Jesus. Jesus invites the people that others reject. Can you say that with me? Jesus invites the people that others reject. Stop for a moment. Think about this. If you were in my shoes and you were doing the message today, think back about all the people in the Bible who Jesus invited that others rejected. I'm going to actually give you permission to only half pay attention to this sermon today, because the other half, I want you to be thinking about that. Who are some of the people that Jesus invited that others rejected? If you got pen and paper, actually begin to write down some of these names of the people who others rejected but Jesus invited. And at the end of the service, I'm going to give us a time to shout out and to say how many people we could come up with. Well, the person that I thought about as I was looking at this was a person in our scripture lesson from Luke 7. Jesus is invited to the home of a Pharisee. And the Pharisees were known for being outwardly religious. They were pious people, which meant that their behavior was blameless. And they were also known for never being around anyone who was impure or clean or unclean. Well, one day, this Pharisee, whose name was Simon, invites Jesus to his house. He's going to throw a party. He invites Jesus, but someone uninvited crashes the party. Here's how it's said in the scripture in Luke 7:37. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner. Now, whenever you see that, that's code word for she was a prostitute. A woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he, Jesus, was at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. So if I could just shock you with my language, I would say this. A call girl walks into the party with Simon the Pharisee and Jesus, and Simon gasps. In his mind, he's thinking, she's not supposed to be here. She's unclean. She's a sinner. She's impure. She's unworthy, and she was not invited. And let me stop right there and tell you something. Simon is exactly right. Simon is exactly right. He's hammered the nail on the head. Everything that he's thinking about this call girl is exactly right, and Jesus knew it. Which leads me to another in statement. She was in trouble. The prostitute's in trouble because of the choices that she's made in life. But also she's in trouble because of the choices that have been made for her in life. I don't pretend to know her story, but I can't imagine that she grew up thinking, oh, when I grow up, I want to be a prostitute. That's my high aim and goal in life. I don't think that's what happened. Perhaps her parents died early. Maybe she got pregnant and the man ran out without marrying her. Back then, you couldn't just give up your child for adoption. You couldn't get that kind of help from government. Everyone would know about it. And back then, if you had a child out of wedlock, you were shamed, despised, unwelcomed in the synagogue, unemployable. And perhaps she thought she had no other choice. So she's thinking, I never wanted this lifestyle, but what am I going to do? And so now here I go out every day, and women look at me and they despise me. I go out and men look on me in scorn publicly, but then privately they look on me with lust. And here I am, used and abused. Here I am, unlovable. Here I am, ashamed. Here I am, in trouble. Everything that the Pharisee thought about her was true. And Jesus knew it. But let's not stop there. We are in trouble too. There are many of us who are here today who find ourselves in places where we never expected we would be. Divorced, filed for bankruptcy, not in contact with our children who are grown, addicted to drugs, stuck in pornography. And we wonder, how did we get here? And even if that's not our story, we are still all in trouble. The Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. The Bible goes on to say that the wages of sin is death. We are in trouble, all of us. My mother used to walk around, and every once in a while, I'd be doing something, and she'd walk over and pow, pop me right on the bottom. I'd go, wow, what was that? And she said, that was for something I missed before. She did that so often. Sometimes she'd walk into the room behind me and I'd jump. And she said, what you jumping for? What you jumping? You must have done something, right? The truth is we all have. We've all messed up. We're in trouble. We're unworthy. We're unclean. We're sinful. So the question is this, what do we do now? I think we should take the example of a prostitute. Here's what she did. She crashed the party. She breaks open a jar of perfume and she pours it on Jesus' feet. And there's two things that are significant about this. In another gospel, it talks about taking the bottle and breaking it. I love that imagery of breaking it because normally we would just open it, right? Pour out some and then close the bottle and save the rest, right? She doesn't. She breaks it and she offers it all. And I think it's a symbol of her own life, her own brokenness. The perfume is her most valuable possession. It would be rare. It's worth a year's salary. It's her saving. It's her advertisement for her profession. It's her calling card, if you will. And what does she do? She pours it all as an act of worship, as an act of redemption. But it's also a foreshadowing, right? After Jesus' death and burial, the women would come to the tomb to do what to his body? Anoint his body. To Jesus, this is an incredible act of worship and devotion, but not to Simon the Pharisee. Simon is embarrassed just to have this woman in his house in the first place. But then to make matters worse, Jesus, the supposed Messiah, allows this woman to touch his feet. And not only does she touch his feet, she wipes her tears with her what? Hair. Now, today we admire, we love, we have all kind of products for our hair. We put our hairs in rollers and we design our hair. We go to the beauty shop to get our hair cut, right? That's what we do today. But back then, how often would you see a woman's hair? They were covered. They would cover their hair. So for her to uncover her hair and use her hair to wipe Jesus' feet at the home of the Pharisee was just one more strike in the long list that Simon had against her. So here's what was going on in the Pharisee's mind. She was in trouble. And now she is unwelcomed. We treat people like that sometimes, don't we? When someone comes into the church who hasn't been to church in a long time, we say, oh my gosh, the roof is gonna fall in, right? Now we'll say it with a smile, right? We'll say it like we're just kidding. But we're still saying the same message. You were in trouble, and now you're unwelcome. Or what about in the story of the prodigal son, when the prodigal son comes home and his father throws a great big feast and the older son says, I will not go in and celebrate with that son of yours. And he says to his father, "Father, you are a fool for allowing him back after he wasted all of our money on prostitutes and loose living." Says the same message. He was in trouble, and now he is unwelcomed. But let's look at Jesus' response. Jesus compares Simon to the woman. "Simon, I came to your house. You didn't offer me water for my feet. You didn't kiss my cheek. You didn't anoint my head with oil. But this lady has anointed my feet and has not stopped kissing my feet." And then Jesus tells a parable. He says this in Luke 7, 41. I think it's in 41 and 42. "A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he forgave them both. Jesus asked, 'Now which of them will love him more?' And Simon answers, 'The one who was forgiven more.'" And I love what Jesus does. Jesus turns to the woman and says, "Your sins are forgiven." Jesus is saying, "You were in trouble, but now you are forgiven." And so here's a question I want to try to answer in our little bit of time that we've got left. Why did this woman risk so much to be at the feet of Jesus? What would make her run across town when she heard that Jesus was coming to Simon's house? What would make her take on the looks of scorn from men and women? What would make her go to a place where she was uninvited and go straight to the feet of Jesus? Here's what I think. I think that somewhere, somehow, she experienced Jesus' amazing grace. Either she met someone who told her about Jesus, or she saw a miracle for herself, or maybe she heard a sermon about. I don't know what sermon she might have heard from Jesus, but earlier in the same chapter of chapter 7, Jesus is describing his ministry, and here's what he says. It's Luke 7, 22. It says this: "The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleaned, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them." In other words, here's what I think it's saying. Jesus invites the people that others reject. Jesus invites the people that others reject. Maybe this prostitute was in the back of the crowd, and on that day she hears the message loud and clear. "You are invited. You are welcome. Come just as you are." Maybe she heard Jesus saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, those who are tired of trying so hard and failing. Come to me, all those who've been rejected. Come to me, those whom religion has turned away. Come to me, those who don't have the right clothes to wear. Come to me, those whose sons are in wheelchairs. Come to me, crippled, hurt, sinner, poor. You are invited." I think there's something interesting in this story. Pointing out the woman's sin didn't lead her out of her lifestyle of sin. Judging her profession didn't lead her out of a lifestyle of sin. Shaming her for what she'd done didn't lead her out of a lifestyle of sin. What changed her? What set her free? An invitation to know the God of grace and mercy. See, we need to remember that Jesus didn't come for the healthy. Jesus says, "I come for the sick." Jesus didn't come for the self-proclaimed righteous. Jesus came for the hurt, the broken, and the repentant sinner. Someone came to Simon's house that day in trouble. They came with a debt that they could not pay. And it was the prostitute. But it was also Simon. And although we'd never find this woman's name on Simon's guest list, her name was on Jesus' list. President Calvin Coolidge once invited some of his friends from his hometown to come over for a presidential dinner. Well, they came, but they were very concerned about how they were going to look, what utensils they were going to use. So they came up with a plan. They said, whatever the president uses, we're going to do the exact same thing. So when he grabbed a spoon, they grabbed the same spoon. When he grabbed the third fork, they grabbed the third fork just as well. When he used the second cup, they used the second cup just as well. And everything was going according to plan until they got to the part where coffee was served. The coffee was poured into the president's cup, and he drank some of it, and they drank some of it. Then he took some of the leftover, and he poured it into the saucer, and they poured it into their saucer. Then he took some of the cream and he poured the cream into the saucer. And they took cream and poured it into their saucer. Took a little bit of sugar and put the sugar in. They took a little bit of sugar and put the sugar in. And then President Coolidge took the saucer and placed it on the floor for his cat. If there's an example to follow today, let's not follow the example of Simon the Pharisee. Let's follow the example of Jesus, who invites all to the table. Amen.